Good morning.
One day at a time.
Good morning to you. I'm sorry about that. Good morning to you today as we gather together around the Word of God. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger. I've made a little progress this week, which I'm thankful for, and thankful for all your prayers that you've been doing on my behalf. You've tuned me in by the way of Ionia, WION, 1430 AM, or 92.7 FM, and in the low air, over in low, it's 100.3 FM, and you tune me in at 8 o'clock, and I welcome each and every one of you. Others are tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM, 106.3 FM, at 9 o'clock, and we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web, and that's pretty special because I've been listening to some of that as I've been homebound. You tune me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. Some of you tuned me in by the way of my website. I welcome those of you that's tuned me in that way and trust that God's blessing will be upon each and every one. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial costs of the program. So we got Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname, and she lives in Orleans. So thank you, Gloria, for your support. And to Bill and Judy Hammond, they live in the Belden area. So thank you, Bill and Judy, for your support. And then Shiloh Community Church, that's where I pastored for 50 years. And I still attend there when I can go. We have a candidate coming this week, so I'm excited about that. Anyway, our weekend of service at Shiloh begins Saturday evening, 6:30, Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and then at 10:45, we have a contemporary service. And then we have a campus over in the Greenville area that meets at the old Calvary Baptist Church at the corner of Grove and LeRae Street. And that service is Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And that their church is beginning to be able to do things on their own. So we're beginning to back off a little bit from that. And that's pretty special to have another location where another church has started because of Shiloh. So that's pretty special. Thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out my music. And she did a beautiful job, and she's always done a beautiful job, and I appreciate her so much because she's kept the program going just as much as I have. Our message this morning is learning to live one day at a time. And you know, one day at a time is a good message for us to get into our hearts and minds. I gotta be honest with you. That's the way I've been living this recently, one day at a time. And sometimes I'm not sure I'm going to make the day. Yesterday, the house got pretty small to me. So I went out and started up my quad and just drove around the yard and drove down by the lake and sat there. I'm glad some warmer weather is coming because I'll be able to get out a little more, and that expanded my world, and that made that day a little better. Well, anyway, we got to get started with the message for today, and as we get started, we got a song that I tried to play in the first place, but we got a song, and this song is telling us about the idea of living one day at a time, and that's pretty special. And we want to be able
one day at a time, sweet Jesus.
I'm only human. I'm just a man. Lord, help me be all I should be and all that I. Show me the stairway I have to
just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time.
Do you remember when you walked among men? Well, Jesus, you know.
One day at a time. That's got a good message for each and every one of us. And I'm just glad to be able to share that message with you this morning. Let's just have a word of prayer. Dear Father, as we come into your presence today, we come looking forward to your words sharing with us some things that we need to know. And Father, this thought of living life one day at a time is something that is very special for each and every one of us. Sometimes, Father, we live so far in the past, we miss the present. Sometimes we live so far in the future, we miss the present. And as all you've promised us is today, and you tell us this is the day that you have made, and so we're going to rejoice, and we're going to be glad in it. I thank you for the listening audience. I pray your special blessing to be upon each one that has tuned me in today, that you just minister to them in a very special way. That's the reason I'm trying to do this broadcast today, is because they're my congregation. All those listeners that's tuned in today, I'm just so glad to have you being a part of this time today, and that you're willing to let me share with the voice that I have, and I just appreciate that so much. I want to pray for whatever their needs are, physical, financial, spiritual, emotional. Dear Father, that you will just be pleased to meet their needs according to your will. May they sense your presence with them, and may, Father, they be able to just do it, this thing called life, one day at a time. And then, dear Father, I want to pray your special blessing on those that might be confronted with an unspoken request. And I'd like to be a part of that by praying for anybody that has an unspoken request as they focus upon it right now, that you would minister to that need that they have according to your will. Go with us now and guide us and direct us, I pray, in that wonderful name of Jesus, and for his sake, amen. Well, one day at a time. Can I say right up front, that's probably easier to say than to do. We all find that sometime to be true. This week, as we think about one day at a time, there's one of the verses that I've always loved that talks about what that day is supposed to be like. And I kind of mentioned it in my prayer, but it's Psalm 118 and verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. I like that idea. This is the day the Lord has made. He's the creator of every day. And this is the day that he has made. And then it says, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us rejoice and be glad in this day. That's not easy to do all the time neither, but I like the way it's put in the message. This is a very day that God acted. Let's celebrate and let's be festive. So let's celebrate. We've got another day. And we're glad for this other day that we have. And I like the word celebrate. Learning to respond to the day. You know what we do sometimes? We react to the day. And I've been having some reactions to the days when they go so slow. And when you can't do the things you're used to doing. I don't mind telling you folks, it's been very difficult these last couple months. Just not having the energy and the strength because I was always on the go. Always had somebody to go visit, something to do. And it's just very difficult when you can't do that kind of stuff. But this is the day the Lord has made. And our response, even though it's hard, should be to celebrate and be festive. Celebrate this day, that this is a good day that God has given us. But I believe the teaching of Jesus can help us. When his disciples came and asked him one day, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? And when Jesus taught them how to pray, one of the statements that is in there to show living life one day at a time, Jesus said, when you pray to the Father, do something like this too, folks. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, and then he says, have you noticed the birds of the air? How they not worried about the things and so on? And he went on to teach them a message that was very beneficial. I'm not saying he did this right on the heels of teaching them to pray. But when he was on the mount, and he did his Sermon on the Mount, as we call it. Excuse me. So Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 33. So I tell you, stop worrying about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or what you're going to wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? And then I like the simplicity of Jesus. Look at the birds. They don't plant. They don't harvest. They don't gather the harvest into barns. Yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? I like the way he puts that. Aren't you worth more than the birds? So Heavenly Father takes care of them. He says, so aren't you worth more than the birds? Can any of you add a single hour to your life by worrying? And why worry about clothes? Notice how the flowers grow in the field. They never work or spin yarn for clothes. But I say unto you that even Solomon, in all the things that he had, wasn't dressed as beautifully as one of these flowers. And you know, that's pretty special. That's the way God clothes the grass of the field. Today it's alive and tomorrow it may be thrown into the incinerator. So how much shall you say, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? Everyone is concerned about these things. And your Heavenly Father certainly knows that you need all of them. So here's the answer. But seek first be concerned about the kingdom of God and God's approval, then all these things will be provided for you. I love the question. He said, aren't you more valuable than the birds? God wants us to just face life one day at a time. Say that with me. Face life one day at a time. And then he gives us the birds, which we have a lot of them in our yard. And I've watched a lot of them and see them looking for food the first thing in the morning. And then see them feeding their babies. Got a nest that's not too far away that I can see how busy the birds are feeding those little babies. And it's constantly working all day. But the Father provides for them. He's made the ample provision for each one of them. May I say this, and as we move on to point number two, or point, whatever point it is, God's design is to live life one day at a time. God's design is to live life one day at a time. We can help ourselves by doing some stuff that he tells us in his word will help us. First he said we got to get rid of the excess baggage that seems to accumulate. Have you noticed that? Baggage seems to accumulate. We just don't take enough along what we need. We always take so much more than we need. Too often we take so much more than we need by, you know, by how we gain this baggage is we don't let go of stuff of yesterday. We must learn that we have a limited amount of baggage that we can take. I've not flown on an airplane, but they tell me that you get ready to get on an airplane, there's a limited amount of baggage that you can take. And God's saying that for life. We also need to recognize that it can be physical baggage, emotional baggage, spiritual baggage that we're dealing with today. And a lot of it has been carried forward from yesterday. Some of it's been carried forward from years ago that we need to get rid of. I like that idea, get rid of it. God shares in his word some ways to deal with the excess baggage. But the first first he reminds us of different people that in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and all the things that they accomplished by faith. And then the first verse of Hebrews 12, when you think about all those people he just shared. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses that did things by faith, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race that has been marked out. You know what God's saying? Throw it away. Get rid of it. Everything that hinders. This is making ourselves so we can be able to help ourselves, so that we can live one day at a time. Because each day, as the Bible teaches us, as Jesus taught us, each day has enough trouble of its own. And then it tells us we must deal with that sin that easily entangles us. Every one of us has something in our life that we just wish we could totally get rid of, and we need to, because it entangles us. Then it would cause us to be tripped up. And not only that, it would hinder us from being able to live that one day at a time. And I need to say this, and we're not going to dwell on it. But you know, some of those things that entangle us is something we've been trying to get rid of for years. Most of the time, it is something from the past. God's word is sharing us with us why he wants us to get rid of that, because he says God has marked out a race for you to run. And God wants you to run that race, and he wants you to do the very best you can. The Christian life is often described by a race that's being won, being run, and it's been marked out for us. That's a beautiful, great metaphor to give us the real realization of what we're doing. Running the race is an active process, not a passive one. It's a challenge. A race is hard, and when we're in a race, because it becomes our chief occupation, as all concerns, other concerns, fade away. Talk to those folks and listen to those folks on TV that are getting ready for the Olympics. They put a lot of effort and energy into running that race that they're going to be running. The same is true with Christianity. We are to live in a determined pursuit of Christ, to get to know him better. We cannot live as though it's passive. We can't go at it as though it's half-hearted. You know, that's what our society does today. Just enough to get by. Well, we're not going to run the race if we just do enough to get by. God speaks of things that would hinder us. There's one more thing, and this has to do with people. Other people. In the book of Galatians, I like the way he said it there. He said, you are running a really good race. Who cut in on you? Or who bumped you and hindered you from continuing to run at the pace you were running? God's marked out this race for you to run. And he don't want anybody else to cause you not to be able to run. So it's about time that we need to hear from our coach. And Jesus, in 1 Peter 5, he says, cast all your care upon me because I care for you. You know, to live one day at a time, it's going to help us when we realize that God cares for each and every one of us. He wants us to do the things that will be a help. You know, I think that God's care for life and for death can't be seen in any better way than what Jesus did when he got acquainted with a family that was living together, two sisters and one brother, Martha and Mary and Lazarus. They all lived in the same home. And Jesus, whenever he was near the town, he would go stay with them. And there's different things that happened, and he got to really know them very personally and to really love them very personally. And one day he was gone away, and Lazarus got sick. And the girls wrote and told Jesus that he was sick. And they figured that he'd probably drop everything and come right away. But he didn't. He didn't because he wanted to work a miracle. He wanted to show the glory of God. And he stayed for a couple more days. And then he said, Lazarus is sleeping. The disciples said, that's good if he's sleeping. And Jesus says, no, Lazarus has died. We got to go there. Well, the disciples didn't want him to go there because their people had threatened Jesus. And so Jesus went there and he met with Mary and Martha. Cast all your care upon him because he careth for you. And after he met with them, he said, where is Lazarus? And then he went to the tomb where Lazarus was. And he told him to roll away the stone. And the girls tried to tell him, that he's been gone too long. He's been gone 4 days. They didn't embalm, but they said, by now, he probably even has a smell to him. And Jesus cried out, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of that grave, bound from the top of his head to the tip of his toes with grave cloth. And Jesus said to the people that were there next to him, remove that grave cloth. Get that grave cloth off of him. So we got a song I want us to listen to. And this is telling us about that grave cloth. And then I'm going to take a little break, and I'll be right back as soon as the song is done. But what a privilege it is, folks, to cast our care upon him, knowing that he cares for each one of us.
Now Martha came to Jesus, said, Lazarus is gone. If you had only been there, he'd still be living on. Mary, she came, the same words she did say. It touched the heart of Jesus, and he went there that day. He stepped to the door of the tomb where Lazarus lay, and said, Lazarus, come forth in his own special way. His voice penetrated those dead ears that day, and Lazarus stepped out, bound hand and foot that day.
He said, loose him, set him free, take away those grave clothes, he's going with me. Loose him, set him free, take away those grave clothes, here's a robe of life from me.
Satan and his demons were laughing at me. Dressed in my grave clothes, dying in my sin, they had me believing that this was the end. Then I remembered the story I had heard about a man called Jesus and the power in his word. So I called on Jesus. In a moment he came, and my captor stood powerless to resist what he had to say.
He said, loose him, set him free, take away those grave clothes, he's going with me. Loose him, set him free, take away those grave clothes, here's a robe of life for me.
Grave cloth, take away that grave cloth. You know, cast your care upon him because he careth for you. I don't know of any greater care than it could be given, that after we have tasted of death, that God promises us the resurrection of life. That's pretty special, folks. To know that God cares for us not only about life, but God cares for us when we're facing the reality of death as well. And that's something pretty special that he did for them and he wants to do for each one of us. God's design is to live life one day at a time. We've been reminded in the past that God's faithfulness is new every morning. His mercies are new every single morning, and great is his faithfulness. We've been reminded this morning to get rid of those things that would hinder us from walking one day at a time with the Lord Jesus, and realize that he wants us to cast our care upon him. As we try to learn how to live one day at a time, we also need to learn how to live being aware of the presence of God is with us every day. I love the way as is shared in Psalm 139. Psalm 139 sometimes is just a good psalm to read. Especially when you're discouraged, it shows God's love and care and concern for you even before you were born. If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hands will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me. Even the darkness will not hide me from you. The night will shine like a day. The darkness is like a light. You know, he's telling us, God's always there. God's always there. We need to be aware of his presence. He's promised never to leave us, never to forsake us, that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. We pay attention to the idea that see where we can recognize just little glimpses of God. That's what that was for me yesterday as I took and went outdoors for a while. Just some glimpses of God's care as I drove around my piece of property. I was thinking of God's care, that we've had that to enjoy. We've lived there almost 50 years, and we've had that to enjoy all those years. You know, in the book of Hebrews, he tells us, keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Even in the Great Commission, the last thing that Jesus said on earth, he said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. That's the Great Commission. That's what we're supposed to be doing as individuals. And then he ended that saying with this, and surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The idea is that, that we need to sense God's presence with us. I don't like the idea of saying you will feel his presence, because feelings really can't be trusted. But he promised never to leave us. So it is by faith that we believe what he promised, and that he will always do the things that he promised. The presence, because of his desire for fellowship with us, is why we can know that his presence will be with us. Jesus desires our companionship for life, and our love that he had for the disciples, and the disciples had for him. And when he was thinking about death himself, the Lord Jesus, I'm so glad what he said to the disciples one day. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now listen to this, that there where I am, you may be also. He wants to be with us. He desires to be with us. And he says, that's exactly what he wants to do. So God's going to keep his promise. Now Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not where you're going. How can we know the way? And then Jesus said this, which sums up who Jesus is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God's reminding us. He wants to be with us. And we, by faith, need to reach out and just be thankful that God is saying, I want to spend some time with you. I want you to be with me. And you know, heaven, sometimes they say heaven got streets of pure gold. That don't mean much to me. You know what I think heaven's going to be about? I think heaven's about being with Jesus, knowing that Jesus loved us and cared for us. But you know what, dear people? If you and I are going to live life one day at a time, and that's God's design, then we also need to try to learn how to live life one day at a time, but we need to also learn how to do ministry one day at a time. And the best way I can tell you that I did was I was doing the ministry at Shiloh Church. It's just something that became a part of my life that was very special, and I learned it from Jesus. We must stay alert to what is happening around us, and we must stay sensitive to what is happening around us. You can get busy doing the things that you want to do, and you walk right past ministry, and God wants us to minister to Him. I believe God's plan is to have us become like His Son, the Lord Jesus. And I believe Jesus lived one day at a time. When you think of Him when He lived on planet Earth, as He walked each day, all of a sudden a crowd would be following Him. And Jesus was always alert, and Jesus was always sensitive to what was happening around Him. There's times when the disciples said, "He don't have time for you." And Jesus said, "Yes, I do." He said that of the blind, he said that of the lepers. And Jesus said, they even said that of the little children. And Jesus was sensitive to want to reach out to each one of them. By Jesus doing that, He made it possible for Him each day to live to the fullest and look forward to the next day and what He could do to help someone else. Don't you think that should be a kind of a part of our life? Don't you think that should be the way that God would have us to live? That we would just live life one day at a time. But in that day as we live, as we go about our duties of the day, or the things we're just enjoying doing, we should stay sensitive and alert to what's happening around us, to realize that God's blessing is there for us to be able to help somebody. Remember what Jesus said was the greatest commandment that fulfills all the whole principles that God wants. In Matthew 22, He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus' main teaching for those that were His children, His followers, the disciples, His main teaching for them was a realization that they were to be a help to other people. They were to assist other people. In the book of Matthew, at the Sermon on the Mount, He said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." In the same way, God's saying, every day that you live, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The main teaching of God's Word is for you and I to be alert and to be sensitive of what is happening around us. We're not only looking at our own needs and the things that we're going through, but we're looking at the needs of others. And we want to realize that we want to be able to minister to those needs. I believe that would help us tremendously. If every day you were able to assist somebody in some kind of way, either in word or in deed, you were able to do something or say something that would make their day. And when you would do that, that would make you look forward to the next day. I'll be glad to see what I can do for God today. You know what I call that in my days? I call that buying up opportunities. Having an opportunity not to let it pass by, but to make sure that we would do a ministry for God in that day. And if we're going to do something that wasn't like giving a glass of water, which we'll talk about in a moment, if I was going to do something, maybe we're going to teach something. I love it that he told us later on how to do that. Be ready to give an answer while you've got hope in Jesus, but do it with gentleness and kindness. Don't look down your nose at somebody you're trying to help, but put yourself in their position and be sensitive to them and what they're going through. So let's just get a couple more thoughts that I think is to help us to live life one day at a time. I believe it would help us to live that life that kind of way, when we can look forward to something we can do to help him, to minister to Jesus. Because he wants to minister through us. We are like his legs and his hands. I love the way it said in Colossians chapter 3, whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Listen to this now. Giving thanks to God the Father through this one Jesus. You know what he's saying? When you're staying alert and sensitive, and you all of a sudden you see an opportunity to reach out and be a help to somebody else, you know what he's saying? That's going to bring glory to God. But also give thanks yourself. At the end of the day, just thank God that you've been able to do a prayer or help somebody by doing something or sharing something with them. And God tells us to be always ready to do that. And I think that's so important. But also, he wants us to do it with gentleness and with respect. And in the book of Ephesians, I just came across this verse in this study. Don't say anything that would hurt another person. Instead, speak only what is good, so that you can give them help, whatever is needed. That way, what you say will help those who hear you. Boy, do we need that today. Dear people just say mean things, say mean things. And sometimes they do that on Facebook, just say mean things, say mean things. And God is saying, I want you to think about it. You've got an opportunity here to help somebody. You got an opportunity to be a part of the cure for what they're going through. I remember early on in my Christian experience, somebody had said to me, if you're not a part of the problem, you're part of the cure. If you are a part of the problem, reach out to Jesus for help. But if you're part of the cure, reach out to others and be some kind of help for them. With help, and that's exactly what God is saying he wants us to do. So I love how simple Jesus made the ministry. That one day they was asking him about things he could do. And Jesus said in Matthew 12, I can guarantee you this truth. Whoever gives any of my humblest followers a cup of water, because that person is my disciple, and will certainly never lose his reward. You know what Jesus said? Even if you give a cup of water in my name, I'm going to reward you for that cup of water. You reach out and give a cup of water. I found a picture for my Facebook, and it's of the old days with the old clothes on, like they used to wear the robes and everything. And this lady's got a little canister, and there's a little girl there, and she's giving her a cup of water. Jesus said, even something as simple as giving a cup of water. Do you realize you've ministered for Jesus? And you know what Jesus went on to say? When you've done it to one of these, the least of mine, you've done it unto me. It's been like you were doing it for me. And that brings glory to God the Father. And that will help open the door for them to respond to the Lord Jesus and all that he has done for each one of us. As we minister for Jesus, I believe opportunities will show up more and more. I love the word seek. You know, this is, when you're staying sensitive and when you're staying alert, that is just in your mind. You're seeking for an opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus. And that's something very special. Jesus had a lot to say about seeking. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it'll be open unto you. Listen to what he says. This is his promise. To everyone who seeks, he will find. You got to be seeking. Seeking for an opportunity to minister to the Lord Jesus. And then one day Jesus was trying to explain to them what the kingdom of heaven was like. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man who is searching for the finest pearls he could find. And when he found a valuable pearl, he went away and he sold everything that he had that he might buy that beautiful pearl. And I think that's something for us to realize. It's so special for us to realize that God wants us to reach out and be a help to others when we see the value of helping. And then my favorite verse about the Lord Jesus is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forever. He ministers one day at a time, and he wants us to realize that he ministers in that kind of a way. As I close the service today, I want to close with a story about a man by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a pretty wild man. He was a tax collector. And the tax collector were hated because the Roman government would say, I want so much taxes from this person. And then he'd raise it up and he would add that whatever he got above what the Roman government wanted, he'd stick in his pocket. So he was very rich. And one day he wanted to see Jesus. But I need to tell you what he wanted. He wanted to see Jesus from a distance. So he was a very short man, so he couldn't see it because of the crowds. So he ran on ahead, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree, and there he waited for Jesus to pass by. And pretty soon, I believe, he could see him a little closer. He's getting a look at him. That's all he wants. And as Jesus comes closer and closer, I believe all of a sudden the heart of Nicodemus was pounding even a lot harder. And gee, wouldn't you know, Jesus stopped right underneath the tree. He looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today. And you know, by going to Zacchaeus' house, Jesus being alert of even in a tree, and he wants him to get ready to go home because he's coming to his house. And that evening in his house, Zacchaeus stood up and he said, I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor. If I've wronged anybody, I'm going to pay him back fourfold. And Jesus said to him, you know what? Salvation has come to this house. Salvation has come to Zacchaeus. And that's something that's very special. So Jesus reached out one at a time. Because you know why he did that? Jesus said it as plain as it can be said for closing. He simply said, you know what? I came into this world to seek and to save the lost. That's why he came into this world. And I'm so glad he did. He put his touch on my life, touch on your life, and we're just looking forward to just being thankful for this privilege to know this one, the Lord Jesus. The song that I have that I want to close with is One Sacred Heart. God's heart reaching out to you. God's heart reaching out to me. And trying to cause us to become just like the Lord Jesus is, because that's what God the Father wants us to do. Well, this song we'll listen to in just a moment, and we're trusting that God's blessing will be upon you. Thank you for letting me share with you. Bye-bye.
Stars. Yeah.